Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
Praise God. Thank you, worship team. How awesome. What a beautiful transition into a time of communion. This is wonderful. If you have not received one of these elements for communion, if you'll lift up your hand, our ushers will come by real quick and they're ready to give you one. We want to take communion together. Once a month we do this together corporately. But each week we have communion on both sides of the sanctuary where people do it individually. One of the things that Jesus told his church the night before he was about to leave was, I want you to do this in remembrance of me. As often as you decide to do this in remembrance of me. You can have communion on your own. You don't have to have it in a church corporate setting. A pastor doesn't have to give you communion because we believe in the priesthood of believers. Once you're born again, you're a priest before God. You minister to God. So you can have communion on your own. I encourage you to do that. And but corporately, we do this once a month to come together as one body. And remember, Jesus said, remember me in this. Not that we would ever forget Jesus, but we can sometimes forget his humility and the fact that he laid down his life. And he took an element of bread, unleavened bread, and he gave a visual illustration to the disciples. He said, do you see this? This is my body. And I'm sure in their minds they must have said, what do you mean that's your body? That's bread. And Jesus said, no, this is my body. It's broken for you. It's given for you. I'm your life source. I'm the living bread. I'm the bread of life. You need me to live. You cannot live without me. You exist, but you don't live. You need me. Remember that. Don't get out here and think you can do this by yourself. You can't. You need to stay in intimacy with me and realize that I am your bread. I am your very sustenance for life. So he took that bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and he said, now take and eat this. This is my body given for you to remind you. You need him. You can't do anything without him. Thank you, Lord. And then he did something else pretty strange. He picked up the cup of wine and he said, you see this? They said, sure. It's a cup with wine in it. And Jesus said, no, this is the new covenant. I'm making a covenant. This is the new covenant and this is my blood. And if you only saw a cup with wine in it, you'd miss the whole purpose. This is the new covenant. I'm having covenant with you. I'm in covenant with you. I'm in covenant with the Father, but you're in covenant with me, and you get the benefits of this covenant. It's a blood covenant. It can never be broken. And it's not the blood of goats and bulls. It's my blood, sinless blood, so it's never broken. You're in covenant with me. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And all the benefits that come to me, I give to you. Drink this in remembrance of me. Now, Lord, may the reality of what you intended for us to receive from communion be ours today. All the benefits of salvation. Not only do you forgive all our sin, but you heal all our diseases. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You're our righteousness, our sanctification, our peace, ever present with us, our healer, our provider, our victory, our shepherd. Thank you, God. And we celebrate you and we remember that. Remind ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. And the ushers are going to come by and pick up these little cups for you. Thank you. Brenda, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much. You took us right into the throne room. And you did double duty. They had church last night, so they came here and did that this morning. And we pray for refreshment, encouragement, and re-strengthening in you. You will not be diminished. You'll not be drained. You'll not be worn out. You'll be encouraged and refreshed. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Can't thank you enough. Amen. God bless you. Paula?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We just have to speak it in faith and love. He does everything else. We don't have to scream it. Just say it with the love in our hearts. Hallelujah. Well, we get to continue our worship with our giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that he made a way that we could give something back to him. Of course, we would give him our lives, but we return our tithes, the 10% of our income, we return that to the Lord. But every week we highlight a different offering. So above your tithe and any offering would be, this week we go to benevolence. And benevolence is something that is wonderful to be able to help other people, right? And I want to share this from the Good News Translation for you out of Galatians. It's chapter 6. Do not deceive yourselves. No one makes a fool of God. You will reap exactly what you plant. So let us not become tired of doing good. For if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest. So then, as often as we have the chance, we should do good to everyone, and especially to those who belong in the family of faith. Hallelujah. That's a word right from the Lord. And we just thank God that we can help those in need. Amen?
Amen.
And we thank God for this church and all these people, all of you, that have such a heart to help people. Whenever we have anything and we need volunteers, there's so many that show up. God
Amen.
Bless you.
Amen.
We thank God for each and every one of you. So you can see the different ways to give up there. There's envelopes in front of you. You can mark the envelopes, leave them at the white boxes, put them in the white boxes as you leave. But right now we're just going to lift them before the Lord. Whatever you give, if you give online, you can just raise your hands and praise. Father, we thank you that you make a way where there is no way.
Thank you.
Lord, that you made a way that all of those in the household of faith will be blessed. And you use us, Lord, to do it is phenomenal. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true. It goes out and it accomplishes what it says. We know, Lord, that we stand in line for your blessing as we can be used of you to bless others, Lord. There's nothing we can do that is more than what we get from you. But Lord, what we have, we bring to you. We ask that you bless it, break it, multiply it for the kingdom of God. And we give you all the praise and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Terms of announcements, please just read your bulletin.
Amen.
There's some new groups and some groups still going on. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Paula. They're doing a series now called Accessing the Throne of Grace. And this is why the throne is up here. We sometimes need a visual to see what God tells us is there, and we have to see by faith. there is a throne of grace, okay? And we have access to that through Jesus. And so I want to today touch on this subject of accessing the throne of grace and finding rest from the promise. Everybody say the promise. The promises are given to us from God so we can access things that we cannot see with our eyes, but God promises us. This is all based on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Look at the scripture on the screen and say it with me, would you? Let us then come with confidence to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Notice, you can receive mercy as a given. If you just come to the throne of grace, God's quick to give out mercy. But grace is something you have to find. When we talk about grace, we're talking about different things. There is salvation grace, and this is illustrated in one of my favorite scriptures, as well as many others, Isaiah 30:15, which says, "Thus says the Holy One of Israel, in repentance and rest is your salvation." It starts off with that. In repentance and rest is your salvation. You know how a person gets saved? They repent. They have a change of mind. They turn to the Lord and they see that the work of the salvation's already been done. Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." So their faith brings them to a place where they receive the promise of God and they're able to rest or sit down in the promise of God, not striving to be saved, not trying to be a new person. That's not salvation. Salvation is a gift you receive. So there is salvation grace. If you've received salvation grace, you should know that because you don't have to battle anymore about, am I saved or am I not saved? I've rested in that. Amen. One of the signs that you know you're saved is you have the assurance that you are saved, given from the Word of God. These things have I written unto you, the Bible, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know this. He doesn't want you to wait till you get to heaven and find out. He wants you to know it now. So you can't rest until you have assurance of salvation. One of the signs that you are saved is that you're experiencing repentance as an ongoing thing, but you finally come to a place where you can rest and you know it's finished. I'm saved, not based on what I do, but based upon Jesus did, his words on the cross. Salvation grace. But secondly, there's strength grace. Notice in this one verse, one of my favorite scriptures, Isaiah 30:15, it says, the part two of that, it says, in quietness and confidence is your strength. So once you get saved, you're able to rest in the fact that I know I'm saved. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven. I have rest about that. I have peace with God. I have faith in that. But the second part is now I'm going to live this life that I cannot live on my own, but in total dependence of the Holy Spirit in me, so that I am able to have a quietness and a confidence. I get strength that I know God is with me. I know He's helping me. I know. So there's a quiet strength that is supposed to be manifested in the people of God. They don't strive to do the things of God. They have a quiet confidence. They have a supernatural ability to be able to trust God as they deal with burdens, as they have to go through things. They're quietly confident, trusting in God, trusting in His Word. Amen. There's a quiet confidence. That's strength grace. God giving you strength. When people say you're going through a trial, you're going through something, and you say, you know, God is giving me strength. That's strength grace, the ability of God to go through something, to endure something, to take on a task, whatever that is. So salvation grace, there's also strength grace, but there's also surrendered grace. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. Surrendered grace is the ability to let go of some things that God's telling you to let go of. You're letting go because he's established that in your heart. And this is beautifully illustrated, of course, in all throughout the Bible, but we'll look at it later in the life of Abraham, surrendered grace. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let me look into Hebrews chapter 3 and 4, and we begin to see there's a warning about to us as today's Christians. There's a warning to us that it's possible that we not enter into this promise of rest that God says is for you today. It's for now. Amen. And here's a warning from a familiar example that you're very aware of, a warning of unbelief. And out of the Passion Translation, it says this. God says, if Holy Spirit says, if you would only hear his voice today, don't make God angry by hardening your hearts like your ancestors did in the days of their rebellion in the wilderness, the 40 years of wandering, when they tested me in the wilderness. And then it goes on, though they saw my miracles for 40 years, they still doubted me. I said, they always wander in their hearts like they do with their feet. They refuse to learn my ways. So I said, they will never enter into the calming rest of my spirit. That quiet confidence that God says, after you get salvation grace, I want you to find strength grace from me so that you can go on and you can live this life that you cannot live in your own power, but in my strength. They refused. And it's a warning. And even a warning to us today, more strongly, it says in chapter 3 of Hebrews, verse 12, which is the context of our scripture, be attentive, brothers, lest there be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart hiding in you, for it will lead you astray and make you unresponsive to the living God. That needs to be chewed on. It could be an evil heart of unbelief in a believer who's supposed to believe and live by believing, but yet there could be an evil heart that keeps him unresponsive to God. God's reaching out, God's calling you, God's urging you, God's giving you promises, but you're not responding to God, and yet you're a believer. And what kept them? What keeps people? What kept the children of Israel from entering the promised land? Anybody know? You'll say, unbelief. Unbelief about what? No, more specific. When God said, I have given you the promised land. See, I've given it to you. Go in and get it. What were they not believing God for? A promise. Everybody say a promise. A promise from God is a summons, like a summons is given you to make an appearance before a judge or before a court. A promise from God is a summons for you to come up here higher. I have something for you. A summons is God saying, come. Come to this. For example, to them, the summons was, or the promise was, promised land, or the promise was, I have given you this land. It's for you. It's your inheritance. I want you to come here. They would have to take that promise as a summons and go there. But they did not, because they did not believe the promise or activate the promise by faith. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's his way of calling us to something. He says, I've given you this. It's yours. Salvation is a gift. I have given it to you. I've already paid for it. It's already done. I want you to come here. It's a promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But you've got to see that promise as a summons to do something, to go somewhere. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Healing, the same thing. I'm summoning you. I'm calling you by a promise to somewhere I want you to go so you can receive an inheritance that I have for you. So to get to the promised land, all they had to do was to believe God instead of living by their senses and looking at the people and all the negative things that would say you can't take the land. They just simply had to believe God and start moving. And God would have partnered with them to make it come to pass. The same thing is true for you and I. You have a promise from God. You know you have a promise. God's given you a promise for something. You take that promise, you partner with God, and you start moving toward it. And God partners with you by the Spirit so that you can receive that promise by partnering with Him. I know it's kind of warm in here. I know we have an air conditioner problem that we're getting fixed, and I probably should have preached on hell today rather than. I love effects. So everybody say a promise. But we need the Holy Spirit to help us discern what is a promise from God. People have a tendency just to grab anything that the Holy Spirit highlights to them and say, well, that's a promise from God to me. Not necessarily. See, the Holy Spirit has to help you rightly divide the Word of God, or else you'll go into error. I know of people who were believers who have mistakenly taken a scripture as a promise from God and misapplied it to their life and have come up with such disappointment that it has shipwrecked their faith and they've abandoned the faith. I know of people, and the danger is that you too could do the same thing if you take something that God doesn't intend for you to take. Like, a promise from God is a promise. Like, for example, I know of parents who have wayward children or wayward grandchildren, and they almost put themselves in an early grave because they're so worried about that child, and they're trying to do everything they can to help that child, but that child's got a will of its own, and that child can choose to either accept or follow the Lord or choose not to. And that parent can just worry themselves to death and cause all kinds of sickness, illness, disease in their life because of worry and fear. But many of them are claiming a scripture as a promise from God that is not a promise. For example, Proverbs 22:6. You know it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not a promise. There is no guarantee from God that if you train your children upright, they're going to go in that way. That's a proverb. A proverb is a wise saying. The book of Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings. They're not promises. You can't make a proverb into a promise. And I know many who have shipwrecked their faith because they said, we did that. Or people from the church, when they know they have someone has a wayward child, they'll come up and say, don't worry, God's promised if you train up a child in the way he should go, that when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And they beat those people over the head with that scripture that is not a promise. It's a proverb. A proverb is a wise saying. But it's not a guarantee. How many of you have trained up your child in the way they should go, or your grandchildren, and they're not walking in the ways of the Lord right now? Would you raise your hands? Well, what's wrong? Something wrong with you? Did you not do it right? See, that's a proverb. See, a proverb is a proverb. You let it be a proverb. You let it be a wise saying. A parable is a parable. A prophecy is a prophecy. And a promise is a promise. The Holy Spirit has to tell you this. God tells you this is a promise. Because when God gives you a promise, he's summoning you to go somewhere to be able to receive something that only he can do. Are you listening? Yes. See, the Bible tells us everything we could ever need for life and godliness has already been deposited in us who are born again by his seed. Amen. It's already in us. It's been deposited. It's the seed, the Word of God has been deposited in us. So we have everything we have need of. Salvation, we have provision, we have guidance, we have healing. It's already inside your born again spirit. Amen. It's in you. Amen. It may be in seed form, but it is in you. And the way you activate what God has put in you, Jesus lives in you. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are already in Jesus, and he's in you. So everything you need is already in Jesus, who's in you. But the way you get that out of your spirit is through the promises. activated by faith. God has given you magnificent promises, Peter says, so that through these promises you can experience partnership with the divine nature. There it is, black ink, white paper. You either believe it or you don't. So a promise from God is actually a live, living promise. It's like a seed. A seed is alive. It can live thousands of years. A seed is alive. It has everything inside it to produce whatever that seed is supposed to produce. See, a promise from God is a live promise. It's a living promise. It's for now. And it has the ability to fulfill itself in it, in the Word. The Word of God has the ability to fulfill itself in it. Amen. But we have to activate it by faith. Amen. Look at a tree, an oak tree. Everybody's got oak trees around here. You take a little acorn from an oak tree. Inside that acorn, there's a root system. Inside that acorn, there are branches. Inside that acorn, there's bark. Inside that acorn, there's other leaves. Inside that acorn are other acorns. All inside that seed. Are you with me? And God's promise is the same way. God's word's the same way. It's a seed. And when you plant it in a heart that will activate faith, a good heart that's activating faith and believing and trusting in God, then you'll get the fruit of that. You're not convinced. 365 times, I know you've heard this, the Bible tells us, don't fear, don't fear, fear not, fear not, fear not, 365 times. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1, it tells believers one thing we should fear. One thing we should fear, and here it is. Since the promise of entering his rest still remains, everybody say still remains, let us fear lest any of you could come short of it. So we must be careful to embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it, experience it, experience it. For the gospel was preached to them, speaking of the Israel that failed to enter the promised land, as well as us. But the word preached did not benefit them because it was not mixed with faith. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise. And we experience the realm of his rest now. Even though the circumstances haven't changed, even though the mountain hasn't changed, even though the doctor's diagnosis hasn't changed, even though your bank account hasn't changed, we experience the realm of his rest now if we activate the promise of God by faith. Amen. Facts are things that people say it's a fact. For example, you may go to a doctor and he may diagnose you with all kinds of CAT scans and dog scans and every other kind of scan and find out, well, you've got cancer. You know, and you're a Christian, you don't say, well, I just don't believe that. But that's a fact. You don't live in denial. We're not afraid to face facts. It may be true. But facts change. Truth doesn't change, but facts change. Facts can change. How many of you have ever had a report of cancer in here, or maybe you've had a report from the doctor says you're not going to live very long, or you got this or that? How many of you have had that fact delivered to your doorstep? Raise your hand. Okay, you're not supposed to be here, according to the facts. What changed? Facts changed, but truth, God's word, never changes. Are you understanding? God's promises never change, but facts change. We're not afraid to deal with facts. There's trouble in this world, and there's sickness and disease in this world and all that kind of stuff. We're not afraid to deal with that, but we know facts can change.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Are you getting tired and sleepy? Don't lie. One clear example, I'm not going to preach long, don't worry. One clear example was this, was of course Abraham, and that's our favorite example in the Bible of a man who realized facts can change. It says in Romans chapter 4, it says, in spite of being nearly 100 years old, anybody nearly 100 years old in here today, raise your hand. I didn't say feel like 100 years old, I said... In spite of being nearly 100 years old, when the promise of a son was made, Abraham's faith was so strong that it could not be, say it with me, that he and Sarah were incapable, factually, of conceiving a child. The only difference between you and me and Abraham sometimes is we've allowed facts to undermine our faith. Even though God's truth says by his stripes you were healed, we've allowed facts to undermine our faith, and our faith crumbled, and we submitted to what the report was. We walked by sight rather than by faith.
See?
See, God wants to bring us all up to a new level of quietness and confidence. Strength, grace, strength that can go through anything, strength that can endure anything, strength that can hold out longer than the devil, strength that can endure any storm. But the strength grace is still received the same way salvation grace is, by faith. Notice back in that scripture at the very beginning, I said to you, let us come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace. There's a throne of grace. You can't see it with your natural eye. There's a throne of grace right now that God says exists. And he says, if you'll come to this throne of grace with boldness and confidence and trust and surrender, he says that you will obtain, you'll receive mercy right away. Anybody here need mercy? We're right. That's where you get it. That's where you get it. See? And then he says, and then you'll find grace. Everybody say grace. To help in time of need. To help in time of need. That words, the words to help is actually a nautical term that means, it's called frapping. Frapping. It means to, when you have a sail on a sailboat that got loose and it's just flapping all over the place, you're able to grab the rope or something to it and tie it down. Secure it so it doesn't get away from you. So we are going to need some help someday in time of need because our emotions are going to just get away from us. Our troubles are going to be so deep and so difficult at times that our emotions are just going to get away from us. And if you don't go to God and get that help that you need in time of need, you can react out of emotion or react out of the flesh and do ugly things and say, hey, I want a divorce. We're out of this marriage or whatever it may be, or I'm giving up or I have no hope or there's no use. And you'll go all over the place and you'll make shipwreck of your faith. But there's a throne of grace. You can't see it. You have to believe it. And you have access to it. It's not way up there in heaven. It's right here. It's within reach. And no matter what you've done, you can receive mercy. But you can find grace, ability from God right now to keep everything in check so you don't go crazy and act a fool. So last scripture. This rest I'm talking about is something that God wants this church, wants all of us. He's trying to teach me and Pam and you as well. This is something he has for us. This rest is a live promise. It's a live promise. It's alive. You can have it now.
So this rest is a live promise. Notice it says, it wasn't canceled at the time of Joshua. You know, Moses didn't get to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. That generation had to die out. But the younger generation, Joshua came up, and the younger generation came in, and they went on in to the promised land. But God is saying, don't mistake that rest is over with it, that they got it. No, there's still another rest that I want the people of God to have today. God wouldn't keep renewing the appointment. He wouldn't say it's for today. And then tomorrow, he wouldn't say it's for today. But there's a promise that's waiting for you today. And the promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people today in your circumstances. God's at rest. Then he says, let us labor, which sounds difficult, like we got to work for this. There is some effort involved as far as activating your faith and your words. Let us labor to enter that place of rest and not drop out because we get weary, we get tired, and this has been going on a long time, or we don't see any change. Don't get weary because of some unbelief. And then disobedience always is acting out of unbelief. Depression, discouragement. You want to quit. You want to throw in the towel. You're done. And God says, no. You have an appointment today with God at his throne of grace. And if you'll come, you'll receive mercy for your shortcomings. But you'll also be able to find grace, ability, and strength from God to be able to handle this ordained trial that's on your life the way he intends for it, you to handle it, so that you'll be even conformed more to the image of Christ by going through this thing. Instead of praying, God, get me out of this, it's God, get in this with me and help me to do it your way. Change me. Instead of change him, change her, change me. And God says, you'll find help, because right now you're frapping. Right now, you're a sail that got loose, and you're all over the place. Your emotions are going wild. You're saying things you should not say. You need to tie that thing down. And God will give you grace to do it. And then you'll come to that supernatural, surrendered rest that we all need to come to and say, God, just like Jesus, I've asked you to take this away from me and you haven't. So instead, I say to you, I surrender. Not my will. Not my will. But your will be done. Amen. And when you do that, you'll feel the heaviness. Yeah. The heaviness come off of you. Because you've been trying to manage this thing. You've been trying to make things work. You've been striving to make a solution come about like you wanted it to happen, and it hasn't happened. There's a reason for that. God is taking you somewhere that you need to go. But to get there, you're going to have to humble yourself before the throne of grace. You're going to have to let go. You're going to have to let go. You're going to have to surrender. You're not the one who's sitting on that throne. You got to move yourself off and let him sit on the throne of your life and your circumstances. And when you do, sweet, supernatural, calming rest will come upon you. And then with quiet confidence, you'll start to live with his strength and not yours. And you won't get worn out. You'll make it. Would you stand to your feet? Altar workers, would you come up here and join me? I know this message, I'm preaching to me, but I know that whenever I preach to me, I know that God is preaching to a lot of people. Because we're all going through the same stuff, parallel stuff. We have issues and problems and things we're facing that if you don't handle it God's way, by surrendering it to Him, you're going to wear yourself out. Your body's going to get worn out. You're going to get sickness and disease because you are not handling things God's way. He wants you to surrender and let Him guide you through this trial. Let Him lead you one step at a time, one day at a time. And just trust Him. Just be the branch and let His life flow through you. That's not hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. But Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden's light. So if that's you today, something that I've said or something that's been said and done in the worship has just touched your heart, then I would say, give God some more opportunity to talk to you. And I'd urge you to come up here to this altar and just maybe be alone with God and just talk to Him about it. Or if you need prayer from any of these folks that are willing to pray with you or give you a word of knowledge, just come up quickly. Do that right now. I'm going to pray, but you come. And if you're here today and you've never received Jesus, come up here and talk to any one of us. We would be glad to help you. So, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for surrendered hearts in myself, my wife Pam, and in the people of this, it's in this congregation right now, and those watching by internet. I pray for a surrendered heart that you can do something with today. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're here for you, so let this be your time. Amen.